The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Out Your Questions, episode 404. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight we're joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up?
And Brian Monjoma.
What up, what up?
Brian, Brett, you caught me by surprise. I didn't see you sneak in here. That's very cool.
I'm very sneaky.
Yes. All right, so we're back. Okay, so no Chris action. As we kind of already knew, and Adam may show up later. He's like busy doing stuff.
He's busy.
Who knows what he's up to? Adam, you know, he does.
He's doing
FIFA stuff, and he's doing Walking Dead stuff.
Yeah, so he's got a lot. He's got a little things on his plate before he can get in this room.
You gotta understand something about him. He kind of has limited time. You know, like after his kids go to bed. So that's why sometimes he comes on the podcast late, you know. The window is kind of narrow, even though I still think he doesn't sleep as much as he probably should, you know.
I don't know. You know, I have to put the kids to bed, and then I have to check my emails, and then I don't know.
Always got to check the emails, you know. Anyway, we have returned with another podcast. So without further ado, let's get into it, man. Going to start off with Mob Hits, who asked a very pertinent question that's literally started popping off a couple hours ago.
Oh.
Ridiculous. All right. Rumors about a Horizon Zero Dawn remake for PS5 have begun circulating. Given how Sony's stock for its consumer tech electronics has been tanking, is Sony just trying to put something out there hoping that a low-risk, high-margin business model will work in its favor with these remakes? Is this super risky? No, this is the safest fucking thing Sony could do. That's why they're doing it. We got, we got the Last of Us remake, which did not even need to exist. Now we got this shit. It's because Sony has nothing new coming out, right? So they need something that they know is going to be like an easy win. Therefore, you get this. This is a rumor, obviously, but I can 100% believe it. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying I believe it. And if it does happen, let's be honest. You already know they're going to charge you $70 for this shit.
Yeah, that's why I'm not really sure if it's as much of an easy win as you say, man. Like,
The Last of Us was a fucking easy, you know, win, you know?
Yeah, I know, but how many times can they... Do you think they'll be able to just do this trick indefinitely? I mean, we Horizon Zero Dawn 2 didn't look much better than Horizon Zero Dawn 1.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, and, like, even that game, as we've talked about, may not have sold that much, but maybe this will be the game that kind of teaches Sony to stop doing this nonsense. You know, because this is all rumor. We're all basing this on rumor right now, but I can totally believe some executives seeing the sales numbers for The Last of Us remake going, oh, shit, what's another one we could do that's easy? Horizon Zero Dawn, let's do that. I could totally see that shit happening. It's fucking stupid, you know?
Well, and, I mean, we've already seen that happen. It happened last generation.
Yeah, it's insane.
Remember we got
the way they remade The Last of Us?
Well, yeah, they remastered The Last of Us. And apparently Kishak mentioned that this is reportedly a remaster, not a remake.
Okay.
I'm not sure about the validity of that, but...
Yeah, we don't know because it's all rumor. By the way, I should add that Horizon Zero Dawn actually got a PS5 patch like a month ago or something. So What the hell do we need this for? And apparently there's some other rumor circulating that they're going to... I don't know if it's going to be added to this or a separate thing, but... Horizon multiplayer of some sort. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was. I don't know. I think it's crazy. And Brett, you're gonna love this. Remember how, you know, you're like, you and I are like, we don't understand these guys that practically want to pay $70. I am not kidding. I got to show you the screenshot. One guy in my reply said he will gladly pay $80 for this.
You say those type of people that set the precedents, a bunch of people that just accept everything that they're because they just let it all blind them.
It's insane. You know? It's absolutely insane. You know,
it's so like,
tried against or like amongst the mentally deficient, and then it's like I got screwed over more. Like, don't get me wrong, I understand supporting people who you like. That's like the whole idea behind collector's editions for the most part. Like, I don't think Sony is the kind of, like, I don't think that counts with like them or Nintendo or Microsoft. Like, I don't know if you can talk about one of the big three and be like, oh, I'm just trying to take in my extra support for them by giving them extra money.
It's insane. They don't need your money like that. Your support. It's stupid.
To be honest, you know? They should. To be honest, they need. What you should be supporting is the games that don't get the top of the food chain shit.
Yeah,
those are the ones that really need it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's.
Oh, go ahead, Brent.
I was just agreeing. Like, yeah, that's what makes sense. Like, give the money to developers who are making content that you like, not the brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, you know, with hopefully it is true, because this is not a Last of Us type thing. Last of Us has a way bigger fan base than the Horizon series does. And like we mentioned, we don't know the numbers of Forbidden West. And if they're trying to release a remake or a remaster for Zero Dawn at $70, it's not going to do as good as they probably think they are. But yeah, this is just a ploy. This is something to fill in the void when, you know, Sony releases one or two games per year, and that's good enough. And by the way, yeah, I know Microsoft does even less, but this is a conversation about Sony.
Yeah, exactly.
And the whole thing with them is, oh, you know, they're going to brag about this year. It's like, oh, we've released for Horizon Forbidden West, and we released God of War Ragnarok, which is true. But they're still going to tell, oh, and we also released The Last of Us Part 1. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things where they use these remasters and remakes, kind of like they did last generation, as stopgaps and as you know, little crowd pleasers for people to just shut their mouths and not complain about them not producing as many games as they should.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate. I mean, I'm not. If this does come out, you know, I'm a fan of Horizon Zero Dawn, but I'm definitely not going to get this if it does come out like this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love that game. I thought the game was fantastic, but come on, really? You know, it because I see it for what it is. It's just we have no games. We need to put something out that will sell. Put this out. It's simple. And they already have it on PC, right?
Though,
so it's like just use the same assets or whatever.
I mean, the implications of what you're saying are, I mean, you say it casually, but the implications are, you know, kind of telling, don't you think?
Well, there are no implications. It's just the truth. Sony has no games.
And the thing is that and current Sony doesn't like to take any chances.
Tony, I dare you to tweet that.
I've been tweeting that for 2 years.
I know, just those words. I want to see how many death threats you get.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been tweeting that for years, and motherfuckers getting mad at me. You know, the whole PlayStation community is after my ass. You know?
Yeah, well, the thing about it is, like, you know, because they don't even question what they're getting. They just bathe in whatever piss that they throw out at them, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, number one, I mean, yes, it's great. Some people may have not played these games, but no, this is not the place to be doing that. Wait like 20 years and then we go, hey, remaster, you know, or whatever, remake or whatever the fuck you want to do. Call that shit now, right?
It's a 5-year-old game.
It's a 5-year-old game. It's not even that long ago that thing came out.
You can play it on your PS5 right now.
And to be honest, it's like it doesn't make it like I feel like the narrative gets lost when you can actually go back and literally play the older version of that game. Like Last of Us 1, right? You know, part one. You can literally play Last of Us Remastered on the PlayStation 4. So why are we even doing this?
Yeah, it makes no. Well, you know,
I'll go one further.
Go ahead
and say, like, this was the whole point. Like, when we got all excited about, like, oh, okay, so like you're telling me that I can play my PlayStation 4 game on my PlayStation 5. Cool. That's kind of an upsell. Apparently, that means you're just going to release PlayStation 4 games for fucking ever. But at least I know that it'll automatically upgrade in graphical fidelity due to a patch when I put it in my PlayStation 5. So basically, yes. I could just play an updated fidelity version of that. Wait, no, I can't. You're just going to sell it to me again. So that meant zero fuck all. You know, that's like, gets me, like, couldn't the worst end of both deals, man.
Couldn't Last of Us remake just have been a really, really pretty texture update and model update to the previous game?
I mean,
you just do that, like, with the, in other words, you get this patch or whatever, and it patches it, and it looks all great and wonderful.
In theory, I don't know about a full remake, but, like, remasters should just be kind of, like, automatically updated when you put the fucking game on your current console.
They have patches already, so that's
what I know, and that's the thing I don't understand.
This has a patch, and they're going to sell it to you again. And, by the way, I need to say this. Again, I love the fact that Throwdown is recorded, right? I said this. Actually, I asked this because last generation, Sony made a lot of money with the remakes, right? I was like, wait, how are they going to do this if you can play your PS4 games on your PS5? This is how they're doing it.
Just resell it to you again.
This is how they're doing it. Because I knew they were going to do it. I was like, okay, they are going to do this again. I just don't know how they're going to do it. This is how. They're
just going to resell it again. What flimsy pretense are they going to give us this time? Oh, yeah. None. No, there
is
no. Okay.
That's the thing. I was wondering what is going to be the pretense. No, there is none. It's just, hey, here's the game, $70. Give it to us. That's it. That's literally it. You know. Hold on. I gotta address something that's going on in the chat right now, because I don't like this. Obviously, I'd like you guys responding, but I'm hearing some, you know, folks here saying that, oh, you know, you shouldn't give any attention to this. Like, if you don't like it, just don't discuss it and move on. No, you have to discuss this shit, because if you don't discuss it, it's going to keep happening. If you shut your mouth, it's going to keep happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to say something. You know,
this is
bad. Yeah, come on, guys.
Brian has been over this, and he is a walking example. Like, how many times have we pointed out where PC has pushed back on something and console hasn't, and then it became the standard bullshit practice for console? And Brian's sitting there going, I fucking told you so. Like, how many times do you need to learn this lesson, old man?
Yeah. Real quick, Dumeke goes, so are you guys angry at Sony for making the games or at people for buying them? Both.
Yeah.
Both.
You're
both at fault, you know?
Number one, you are just accepting the same old shit that they're putting out. I understand you love these games, but what is the point if you can continue to play the previous version of it? What is the point, like, only 5 years later of you literally getting the same game with marginal upgrades? That Last of Us Part One is literally just a graphical and model update. Nothing else. And everyone saw this. They say, oh, hey, yeah, the AI's been. But number one, it's like, even the disappointment when it came, they did a remake, but they didn't incorporate any of the quality of life changes that the previous game did.
Yeah.
So what kind of remake is that's not really a remake.
Yeah. He goes, so Tumeke goes, so you're angry at people for choosing to spend money? Yes, because they're doing something harmful to the industry.
This is bad, guys.
Come on now. We can't keep doing this shit. We already had the Last of Us remaster, whatever the fuck it was. Now we're potentially getting this shit. This is out of control. You know?
Okay. You speak with your wallet, right? But when you set a precedence with your wallet, they'll continue to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And you will not be getting the new experiences. You'll just be getting remakes of the previous experience. This is what we talk about when you say support the things that you want them to make more of. By buying these sorts of remakes means that they will continue to make more remakes and not invest in new experiences. Unless you want to play the same old games over and over again every single generation, that is exactly what you're going to get.
Yep, there you go. Also,
can I say, as somebody who's had the benefit of seeing Gaming Kingdoms rise and Gaming Kingdoms fall, you're not just dealt the hand, you don't have to stick with the hand that you're dealt with, right? Like, our discontent at policies is the reason the big three have changed places over the last decade, right? It's we don't just sit here and accept shit the way that it is. You get mad about it, and that's what changes things. That's what changes the dynamics, and that's what kind of refreshes the console, quote-unquote, war cycle. And that's the thing that honestly has kept consoles relevant for the last several decades, right? Like, we're meant to have this kind of upset. We're meant to have people kind of yell about this kind of stuff, get upset, and then we have options, right? Like, that's why it's good that it's not a monolith. This is kind of normal and standard.
If people normal. just... if people just started just accepting whatever these companies just give you, remember that TV bullshit? If we just if you all just accepted what that was, then that would have essentially set the forward momentum of everything else. Everybody else would have started doing that bullshit. But being that as soon as everyone saw what that garbage was and saw the silliness of whatever that the junk the Kinect did was doing, started talking about it, started making a fuss about it, you notice that all of a sudden that all went away? You understand? Yeah. You guys understand what we're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. You got to push back. Blitz says, Sony has been doing it for generations and also still makes lots of great new games. We're not getting any of that, though. That's the problem. You know, like, it's been compounded. Okay. What do we get this year? We got Horizon Forbidden West and God of War. That's it.
And you can't even. You know? And then the other thing you talk to talk about. Okay, we're talking about new games. Officially, those aren't new games. Those are sequels to other games. So we're not really getting anything new. We're just sequels to the old shit. So what's the new shit?
And on Returnal. The old platforms.
Returnal's the newest game that they have.
GT7, and that was a sequel. There are no new games coming out.
There are no new.
And Returnal. Returnal wasn't even a PS5 first party game until they bought House Marquee it came out. So.
If you think about it, Returnal is like the only new IP that's exclusive to PS5. I guess All Stars, I guess, but it's like that's still two fucking games. I know I sound like a parrot here. This generation fucking sucks. You know, this is terrible for gamers, but people want to eat it up. You know, it's upsetting, man.
It's the same reason why you don't see newer, you know.
No, we're not going to do a whataboutism with Xbox. We're not talking about Xbox. We're talking about PlayStation.
We're not talking about Xbox. And to be honest, it's the same. They're guilty.
They're worse.
Of the
they're
same
worse.
Shit.
Actually, they're worse. But so, we're not talking so they're about guilty, them. You know,
they're guilty of the same shit. So the number one again. This is what the and again you have to see what they're doing, and what they're doing is because again they don't have a lot of because a lot of their games are probably 4 or 5 years off to try to bolster that thing. They throw in a lot of distractions in there. Hey, remember that game that you like? We'll throw that in there. Hey, remember that other game that you like? Oh, throw that in there, and then you know try to fill in the space to try to make it look like they're actually doing something.
And hold on, I want to hear about this whataboutism. Because while we're talking about like kind of re-releasing games in a predatory style manner, like I understand Microsoft doesn't have a lot of games coming out. Everybody's guilty of that. I was going to point that out later. But if we're talking about this kind of thing, like no, the Xbox is backwards compatible and gives me that shit at a super, you know, either super discount or you know throws it at me for free on Game Pass. I don't even want to play the 360 games. They're just like here, have them for free. Like it's. Not the same thing at all. So, like, what is the whataboutism here? What is the non-equivalence here?
No, it's just no. I don't think you should even mention that, Brett. Because
yes, this issue is industry wide. No one's denying that. But right now, we are talking about Sony. You know, look at the Switch. The Switch, half the library is the Wii U. You know, so yes, we understand this is industry wide. But and I don't understand why when people like when we focus on one specific console, we're not talking about that. We're talking about this console. But yes, obviously we know it's industry wide. That's why I said this generation sucks. I didn't say this generation for PS5. The generation it fucking sucks. It's a terrible generation. You know, let's just continue with that precedent. Yes, we understand the problem is industry wide, but for this conversation, we're talking about Sony. Anyway, go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, it's why and this whole whataboutism, it's like why can't we just have a conversation about one thing and one thing only? Like we understand, we're not saying, like Tony mentioned, this generation is trash for all systems, not just Sony. But when we're talking about Sony, like let's do deep dives of why Sony is doing it and what practices they're doing to hopefully remediate it. And like we can have that conversation without ever mentioning Microsoft, because Microsoft has nothing to do with what Sony's doing. Sony is supposed to set the standard of how first-party AAA games are supposed to come out, but they're not even living up to their standards as well as they used to. So we have to talk about that, and without, you know, and we don't have to bring up Microsoft and their sorry case and what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know, we talk at length about fucking Halo Infinite and how, you know, all the whole bullshit that came out with that. and you know, and all the games that they've acquired, like 50 studios, and they've only released like five games.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, but let's have a conversation about one at a time. We don't have to feel the inferiority complex or insecure about what our purchases are by mentioning the competition as if we don't even criticize them. But we
do.
You
know what I find funny? I remember last generation, right? We would literally get people going, oh, how come you never say anything positive about Xbox? Because there wasn't a lot of positive things to say about Xbox. Xbox was a clusterfuck last generation. But now it's the other way around. Sony's fucking up.
Tony, yeah, we got to interject. It's the opposite of a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
There was no cluster of anything. They didn't have any games.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, again, what we do on this show is we point out the BS happening from any company, right? And now it just so happens to be Sony's turn because they're fucking up. You know, so we gotta call it out.
I want to throw out there too, like, what about us creates this kind of false equivalency, right? Like, Microsoft is incredibly dumb and fucked up all on its own, right? In a completely unique Microsoft way. The reason that they suck is different than the reason that PlayStation sucks, right? Like, even if you're like, both have no games out right now, like, okay, sure. But by saying like, well, what about this? What about the other? You're completely ignoring the fact that they both don't have games for completely different, equally stupid reasons.
Point. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Anyway, Brian, what are your thoughts on all this, man?
Which part?
The Horizon Zero Dawn remake, remaster, and just Sony's propensity for remasters in the light of that has no games this generation.
I'm just beyond words. Like, when I heard this news, I was like, well, my first thought was, why? And then I was like, oh, I know why. Because, again, they have no games. So it's easier to put out something that they already have than make something new. And then it's like, okay, so this is the route that they're going down. It is nice to know that Sony's going down in a ball of flames like this. So, yeah, that's fine. Go for it. Don't care. Again, I reached the point of not caring since, like, the PS3 generation with Sony. So, hence, I'm like, okay, if this is how Sony wants to play things, then they can go ahead. They just won't be doing it with me. Like, yes, I bought a PS5, and yep, I mostly play PS4 games because there is no PS5 games actually worth getting. Like, what?
There are no PS5 games. There's like, what, three? Come on now, you know?
Even when you actually you look at it, it's like, okay, so they have Ratchet and Clank. Okay, cool. Another one, fair enough. They have sequels to games that they already have, fair enough. But what do they have new? Nothing. I don't count, what's it called?
Returnal?
Yeah, I don't count that because that was made by Sony. Well, it wasn't made by a Sony studio when it was made. So it doesn't, it's like saying Deathloop is like a Microsoft game. It's like, it's technically not. It was made before they got acquired, so it doesn't count. So hence, Sony have not been doing anything. So I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't. It's just upsetting. But the whataboutism really upsets me. You know, because I guess it's because of, like, internet discourse. It's like, oh, you're criticizing this console. That must mean you think what the other console is doing is good. No, absolutely not. You know?
I mean, we dealt with it last generation with Damien. Remember, every time we would say something bad about Microsoft, what about Sony?
What about Sony? You know,
yeah, the thing about it is that number one, you gotta if you're call yourself a true gamer and you're nonpartisan gamer, you should be able to look at
fake your neutral own, Manny.
You should be able to look at the company that you're a fan of, as well as the competition, and see the problems. That is, in other words, as much as you enjoy and love what they do, there are also a lot of things that are not cool what they do. And that is really an objective person about what they're actually buying. You don't just accept something because, oh, they're the trusted brand, you know? No, that's because number one, for as much esteem that you hold for these companies, they hold very little for you. They only just want what's coming out of your pocket. Yeah. And the thing is, if you want them to do new things, if you want them to create new experiences and to continue creating new experiences, you have to start supporting those things over the look at me games. Oh, hey, who? Hey, look at it. It's the game you heard about. You love it. No. You know, obviously, yes. If you really like it, go for it. But the thing about it is that, remember, you going toward that direction, you know, essentially rewarding them for not doing what they should be doing, they'll do more of that, what you're paying for. Now, yeah. If you just want a bunch of remakes, okay, then that's fine.
Yeah, that's, I mean, once you give them, what is it? Once you give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yep.
Is that the saying? That's exactly what's going to happen here. By the way, I do want to give a shout out to Fergus Mills.
You know,
he says, "F it, I'm going to become a Candy Crush only gamer."
Right, there you go.
And also, Kishak,
Candy Crush. You don't know about that one. That one is built to take your money.
You know.
Oh yeah, he was being sarcastic, but the Kishak also mentioned, "What if I just don't care enough to get outraged?" That's okay. I mean, we're all. You know, we're all different.
We'll get outraged for you.
Number one.
That's what we're here for, brother.
And here's the thing: I can't say that I'm outraged at all about this.
I'm pissed off right now, man.
To be honest, I'm more in the camp of the way Brian is where it's like you can obviously see the rope-a-dope happening in front of you, but that the part that does frustrate me is that nobody sees that rope-a-dope that I already see going on. That's the part that annoys me, that it's so obvious what they are doing that nobody is questioning it. Nobody's sitting there and going, hey, wait a minute. That's the part that bugs me. Though.
You know,
that's the part that really bugs me. Not the fact that they're essentially doing it because they're going to take advantage of whatever thing is going to be doing. But the thing is that nobody's actually questioning it and people are just accepting it. Hey, I'm going to throw $80 at this thing because they told me to. There you
ridiculous,
go.
Ridiculous, man. Real quick, Blitz goes, not sure what I missed, but I will say this. I buy what I like and that includes new games and old. Listen, that's why. Here's the thing. Obviously, we're not going to tell you what to do with your money. You know, you're a grown person. You do what you're going to do, you know. But I can question some of the practices here, you know. That's also within my right. You know what I'm saying? Especially when I think, not you, because, you know, you're going to spend your money how you do it. But I do think people are getting fleeced here. I really do. And well, like Manny said, it's so clearly obvious what Sony is doing here. And the fact that people are letting them get away with it, even celebrating it, very troubling to me, you know?
Well, Tony, isn't it also because you know that that's not sustainable long-term? Like, at least in my opinion, like, they're burning their long-term reputation for their short-term. So you can sit there and agree with it all you want, but, like, if they continue to do this, you're going to find yourself in the same situation where you're like, I've already played this game twice.
Yeah.
So, like, it's more so that, like, it's partially out of concern, not with me. Like I've been calling old Sony for fucking ever now. I just bought a ticket to the show, and I'm set either way. But I think a lot of the people that are criticizing it are criticizing it because they don't want to see Sony continue to do these kind of low effort fart in a jar things, because ultimately it's going to come back and bite them in the ass. It's bad for the consumers. It's bad for the industry. It's bad for the company itself. Not really great for anybody. So
it's to be honest, it's like when a movie studio constantly just continuously makes the same type of movies over and over and over again. Eventually the novelty of that thing wears out. And I feel like again, there's a time and a place for remakes or remasters. Resident Evil, perfect amount of time. Literally like 20 years or more. Great idea.
Here's the thing. And but I had this conversation with somebody, right? And this is a good question. They go, oh, what if, because I said you can't be charging fucking $70 for a remake. And they go, oh, what if they remake the first Silent Hill game? Would that be worth $70? I'm like, oh, that's a good question, because that game, you can't really play it. You know, it's not available.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, so I could see the validity of something like that. But it literally, Horizon Forbidden West, you could play it right now with a PS5 patch.
Dude, as long as it didn't come out last generation.
Yeah.
As long as it didn't come out last generation, right? Like, we all even said Last of Us would have been fine if they didn't remake it in the middle of that. If it would have come out on PS3 and then PS5.
Yeah. if they just skip that generation, right?
Yeah, if you remake the first Metal Gear, I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that.
I could understand that.
I feel like there needs to be a certain amount of distance between them.
Yeah. I used to cut it. If The Last of Us was not remade for PS4, it was only available on PS3, and it got this remake now, and you're charging $70, I could understand that. You cannot play it any other way, you know? But you could literally buy the game right now for like $6, you know?
Well, and not only that, but even if they do charge $70 for The Last of Us Part 1 remake, I would have it would have been an easier pill to swallow if you fucking if they allowed the people who already double dipped on both the fucking
exactly.
games to at least have the opportunity to pay a little just a fraction of that to upgrade.
You know what, Carlos? I want to jump on that because exactly. That's a good point. I am not against companies making their money. If they would have gone, hey, we're going to remake the Horizon Zero Dawn for extra $20, you get upgrade. Cool. Fine. You already own the game. 20. Fine. Whatever. No problem. You know?
So what if this situation was more like this, where, in other words, you already own The Last of Us Remastered.
Yeah.
They, for an extra $20, you could get The Last of Us Remake.
Fine. I don't think anybody would complain.
I would.
Yeah, I know God you would, bro. I know you would. You know?
I'm supposed to be getting that shit for fucking free, man. Like, that's the whole goddamn point of, like, okay, here's the deal. If I go to buy a PS5 game and they're like, oh, we don't have it on PS5, but we have it on PS4, and it automatically upscales to PS5. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh, no, you're right. If it's a game on PS4, no. That's a free update. But I'm talking about if it's a PS3 game or something.
No. If it's a PS3 game, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As long as they're not selling...
Yeah.
Well, I'm still pissed at Ghost of Tsushima because they shouldn't be selling you an upgrade from last generation's game, especially when they don't give you the option to buy it for this generation. They're forcing you to buy a dated game so that they can sell you an add-on when it becomes current. Bullshit.
Oh, the director's cut, right? You're talking about?
Huh?
You're talking about the director's cut? Because there's a free upgrade for Ghost of Tsushima for PS5.
Or am I thinking of Spider-Man?
You might be thinking about Spider-Man. Ghost of
Tsushima. I think I'm thinking about Spider-Man. Credit where credit's due. I think of a Spider-Man that I was upset about that for.
I think it was Spider-Man. I think it might have been
this. It's the other open world game.
Yeah,
it's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't Ghost of Tsushima. Spider-Man, there was a remaster, but as far as I'm concerned,
there was a remaster only on PS4, on PS5, excuse me. I know that. Because obviously not available on PS4. Anyway, any last thoughts? I want to move on. We've still got a bunch of other questions.
I do want to give a huge shout out to Fergus Mills. Shout out to Fergus
again,
Mills.
Again, man? Shit.
You're hooking it up with the bits. So appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
And
publicly, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm calling people on Twitter stupid. You're fucking awesome.
Yeah. The whole thing with remakes, there's a lot of things that it depends for me to jump, to take that leap, to say that it's a worth a $70 experience. If it depends on how much they can just do a blind remaster and call it a remake. Be like, okay, we just upgraded the textures, you know, we set the textures and boosted the frame rate. Well, that doesn't, you know, that for me, that doesn't constitute a $70 purchase. But, you know, if you get like the guys mentioned, if you get, for example, the Metal Gear Solid 4 that's only on PS3 and not on anything else,
you know,
it gets an attention to detail with the updates that they made to The Last of Us. But in this generation, then I'll be like, you know what? This might be worth $70 for me.
Because you can't play it in either way. Yeah, exactly. You know,
and we've been that far removed from that experience, which was 2008.
Shit. 14 years. God damn.
Yeah, exactly. So, in those situations, I do understand. I know no one, not everyone's gonna agree, but at least for me, that's where my threshold is.
Yeah. All right. Move on. Next up, another one from Mob Hits. Something less contentious here. What are your thoughts on Halo dropping the Slipspace engine and continuing with Unreal Engine 5? Sure. Okay.
Well, Well, to be honest, that's probably the best thing they can do, because it makes things... A lot of big companies are literally dropping the Unreal Engine. I mean, not dropping it, dropping their own their home engines. Their proprietary engines for the Unreal Engine, because a lot of that's a lot of that development, man. You know, going in, you know, designing a new engine and then going in and, you know, making sure everything works. At least with Unreal, everything works. The only thing is that Unreal has very hefty, fees when it comes to using that engine or licensing it. I mean, to be honest, like, look at the guys who made Cyberpunk. They're moving on Unreal too. They're dropping the Red Engine and going to Unreal. So,
yeah, having their own exclusive engine provided overhead for this studio for 343. So if they can do something that a lot of other studios use, and they can get developers, that are familiar with this and hopefully build a Halo experience worth having, then I'm all for it.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. Moving on here.
Next. I do have something to add, because I was watching this video about Battlefield 2023. Yeah, the new one that came out. And they brought up the argument that after Battlefield 5, like, most of the senior devs on that team left, at DICE, they left. And DICE make the Frostbite engine, and then with the new Battlefield, the devs were complaining that they weren't used to the engine and they couldn't get stuff right. So it made me understand that as the old guard left and the new guard came in, the new guard weren't that experienced with the new engine. And this ties into this question, because I was thinking, like, okay, so what if the dev teams do move from the proprietary engine to... like a common one, but then if they're still not good with the common engine, then it doesn't alleviate that problem, does it?
But also, isn't it kind of a problem if they're not good with the common engine?
Well, that's my fear, I guess. Because if these all these new devs aren't used to like Unreal Engine 5, then these problems will still exist in that the devs aren't using the engine to do things that we expect.
Yeah,
from them.
I think that's a valid concern.
To be honest, though, the thing about it is that you can find more people that are more adept at using the new the generally used engine than the previous engine.
Yeah, I was going
to
say that.
So I would think what would happen is that at least they'll try to get more people in that or have an expertise in the new engine. You know.
Yeah. But
I see where you're coming from, Brian.
Yeah, but I do see where Brian's coming from. But then again, 343 has proven that they hardly know to work with their own engine. So it's like, let's try something else then. But yeah, I do, you know, maybe CD Projekt Red, who knows what effect that'll have on them. Maybe their next project will be better for it, or might be worse for it. Who knows? But, you know, in the case of 343 and Halo, I just want them to try something else, because what they've been doing is clearly not working. Hopefully, you know, with a common third party engine, you know, you're able to get experienced developers that are used to these types of engines, instead of getting a whole bunch of developers to learn their proprietary engine.
Yes, Witcher 4 is confirmed to be using Unreal Engine 5. That has indeed been confirmed.
And I suspect that even when they announced a sequel to Cyberpunk, which they probably
Cyberpunk 2077, you know. I was thinking about that. I'm like, you can't do like a game that's like Cyberpunk 2078, because it'll be the same city, but if you go like 100 years in the future, they could change the map up a little bit if they still want to do it in Night City, you know.
I mean, it's interesting, because there obviously are other cities within the, you know, the world of Cyberpunk. So, yeah. But it's interesting, you know, so we'll see what they decide to do. But
you know, the new Cyberpunk, you know, will probably be on Unreal Engine 5 as well.
They'll probably be able to use, you know, like one of the biggest factors. So, like, because you remember they did cancel the online mode in Cyberpunk. So. Yeah. You know, maybe that new one will allow them to do that.
Maybe, but the DLC will still be on the Red Engine. I believe that's going to be the last thing you do on the Red Engine, which is pretty interesting.
The Red Engine, like, here's what I don't understand. Like, everybody seems to want to reinvent the wheel for their own engine, but they all kind of do the same. Like, they're not notably enough different from each other. Like, I don't know what Red Engine does that Unreal doesn't.
Well, the thing about it is, the thing about developing your own engine is the fact that you don't need to pay a licensing fee.
True.
You know, this is something that you guys don't hear about all the time, but when you sell your games that are using these engines, you still need to pay a fee off of that. And it can be a fairly sizable fee depending on the project.
But didn't it feel like we got more games? Like, there's a correlation between less games and everybody making their own engine, or more games when, you know, they were kind of industry standard? Or do you guys think that's just coincidence?
Well, no, it's because, like, at least the way, you know, a lot of Japanese ones, they used to always reuse, you know, they used to essentially develop new engines from scratch when they were developing their new games.
Yeah,
But the thing is that that was sort of coupled in with their time frame of development. But nowadays, you can't really dilly-dally around trying to develop an engine and then developing the game simultaneously.
Yeah, it's just, more cost
effective. It's a double-edged sword, I would say. It's like, you know, you have the one plus that you have a unique engine that you don't need to pay licensing fees for. In fact, you could probably release that engine, you know, and license it to other creators or other game developers. Not many people have done it. There's very few. So it's either, you know, that or just go with an established thing that essentially just makes things look good. And you just don't need to, you know, kill yourself trying to develop all the underside. There's a lot of paperwork that's already been written about Unreal Engine, you know, about how to implement a lot of these features. So,
yeah. All right. Good stuff.
Especially when games start getting so complicated now.
Yeah.
But it's sad. It sucks when that now granted, a lot of Unreal games are looking very different from each other, right? You know, Guilty Gear is very different than a game like what's an Unreal game? Final Fantasy, you know.
Yeah. And Dragon Quest, you know, I'm like, you never would have thought.
And Dragon Quest.
Yeah. I will say this though. I'm fine with them using Unreal Engine 5. Obviously, I think that engine's great, but I will, as a fan, I will miss the artist touch, as you will. It's like, oh, it's that engine. Oh, it's that engine. Every engine has a little flavor, right? Just kind of like, hey, you could tell the difference between Jim Lee and Todd McFarlane, right? So I'll miss that. But at the same time, if it gets us games faster, good. Let's do that. We need these games fast because we don't have any games right now, you know? Anyway, let's move on. Villa Kyle, first question. If Cyberpunk 2077 can come back from possibly the worst launch in recent history, can Halo Infinite, which had a much more positive reception at launch, do the same? Yeah, sure. But especially now, especially now that they're going to get more. Now that Bonnie Ross is gone, maybe we'll finally get something going, you know? By the way, I love that this question is a kind of follow-up to the previous question because we talked about the Red Engine and Halo, you know? Good stuff. I think so. Because remember, this is a live service game, right? So it has more of a potential to come back because those are the games that typically come back. You know, No Man's Sky, Sea of Thieves, literally every Ubisoft game, you know. I think there's still a possibility there, especially now that they're going to have new leadership, you know. We're not saying it will happen. We're just saying the possibility's there.
I think the one thing about to understand the thing about it is that when it takes steps to, you know, consistent updates and fixes in order to get these things back onto the road. If you notice, when Ubisoft went down the wrong road, they literally began the process of refixing it. You know, again, like what was that game? The Adams game. That one launched at a pretty decent state, but it got even better as they, you know, essentially did. Or that other game, was it the fighting game that they released? So was it a sword something? I can't remember what it was. Whatever that game was, they essentially went in and then started fixing it because it released in a state that wasn't, you know, very good.
For Honor, like, Rainbow Six Siege, and a bunch of other games that Ubisoft released. Like, they just didn't hit. And the Division, obviously, they just didn't hit initially, and then they fucking blew up later, you know?
Exactly. And so, like, but the thing is that what they did was they essentially got down to work and tried to address the things that were wrong with it and consistently updated. So you keep it out in the zeitgeist longer. Like, oh, hey, you know, we got this going. Oh, hey, we got this going on. Oh, hey, we got this going on. You keep on iterating on top of it. It's the same thing that happened with No Man's Sky, too. They just kept on fixing and fixing and fixing and fixing until they literally got it to a point where they essentially up to the point of where it was advertised. It's got multiplayer. You can make your own bases. You can do all these things, all the different things that which essentially sounded like lies initially when he did it.
Yeah.
They eventually did do those things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that guy just said yes to every question he got. It was hilarious.
Yeah. It's like, can you do this? Yes, we can.
Yeah. Blitz says, if MS can bring Halo back from here, they will be legends. Yeah. I don't think they will, but the possibility exists. But me personally, I think Halo Infinite is done. I could be wrong.
Hard question. If Peter Molyneux released a game today, in the age of live service redemption games, would it ever include everything that he promised? Would that acorn ever turn into a tree?
Yes.
Well, here, I mean, if you remember the game Goddess that he released, he did make a lot of promises on that game, and he essentially abandoned it before it even, you know, he said it was an evolving situation, and he never evolved it. He just let it go when it didn't do with the numbers that he wanted. So I don't think Peter Molyneux I think he is a lot of hype, but I don't think a lot of times he's, you know, as far as substance comes, I think it's everybody else that essentially fills in his blanks, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of surprised the No Man's Sky did it. I'm like, you're like, if Peter Molyneux weren't a liar.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but the thing about it is that at no point in general did you know what you know, you expect with all the things that he said, you expected it to launch with all those things that he said.
Oh, yeah, he eventually proved himself not to be a liar.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Like Sean Murray. Or that was Sean Murray. All right, yeah, Peter Molyneux, we'll see, man. let us move on here. Another one from Villa Kyle. If Phil Harrison turned down a Death Stranding exclusive for Google Stadia, because it was supposedly going to just be single player, is that more proof of his mismanagement? At this point, it doesn't matter what they could have or would have done. Stadia's dead, you know?
Yeah.
Phil Harrison in general has proven to be the Grim Reaper of gaming, you know? So this and alone is not enough. That guy should have a bad track record, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's just had a bad track record. It's either could be by his own doing or just the fact that he keeps just so happens to be standing in the wrong room at the wrong times. Who knows?
Yeah,
but,
right.
I mean, whatever he has behind him, it seems to always seem to redeem him, and he always seems to get another chance. This is time number four for him.
I don't know, man. It seems to me, you know, Manny, this is one of your favorite phrases. He's failing upward.
He's failing upward? Yeah, maybe he could be.
It's interesting, man. So, yeah, again, it doesn't matter. Stadia's done. Listen to the last episode of Throwdown for more on that. All right, moving on. One subset who's been joining us in the chat tonight. All right, he goes, I'm starting to see Xbox Series X in stores, Walmart, Best Buy, and Amazon. Amazon has stores? I guess digital ones.
They're actually not putting you on digital lines anymore.
Yeah. Should I wait for Black Friday or pick one up now? Wait for Black Friday.
I would say wait for Black Friday. Friday.
Very close. Wait for Black Friday because that'll be a very good time. I'm pretty sure they're gonna have bundles and deals and all this other good stuff.
I think it'll be.
We also want to visit a certain site called Tom's Guide. We'll probably keep you up to date on all the Xbox deals. All that Adam Vale in the house, man.
What's up, man?
Guadalupe.
Guadalupe. Adam, it's been forever since we last talked. What's up?
Damn, I know. I don't know. A few hours for you. It all ends up.
All right, man. Yeah, we'll move on to the next question here. Another one from One Subset. Why do gamers give Nintendo such a huge pass when it comes to it not keeping up with Xbox and PlayStation? We don't give them a pass on this podcast, boy. We come down on them hard because of that shit, you know? But the thing is, when it comes to Nintendo fans, they're a different breed. I'm trying to be respectful here, but they're their mindset is not the same as like Xbox or PlayStation. Xbox and PlayStation guys generally like the same type of games. There's differences, obviously, but I'm saying they are of kind of the same ilk. You know what I'm saying? Nintendo guys, they're something else. You know, so they don't mind.
I think it's
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's more of a nostalgia sugar plum dream sort of deal.
That's definitely a factor, but I'm saying
I think a lot of that is that they just, number one, they don't believe that, you know, the thing that they grew up could do any wrong. Mm-hmm. I think it's that. I think it's also it's the fact that, you know, again, it's like when you look at the whole deal of them, they're always putting out the things that you remember. So if you're just a person that's just looking for those titles, they got you, and they don't make bad games.
No, that's the thing about Nintendo. Say what I will. You know, you me, I'm the biggest fucking Nintendo criticizer out there. But yes, their games are always very good, very solid, very technically sound. You know, their quality control is very on point. Probably sets a standard, but. My issue with Nintendo is, Manny, that's one of them. The games, I played those already. I don't want to play that anymore. I'm just being honest. I outgrew that stuff. Kiddie stuff. You know.
You know that you see the whole Nintendo is also an example of what we sort of been talking about in the our previous conversation about Nintendo. Sony. They're essentially doing a similar sort of thing. They're relying so much on their current, you know, on their.
What the fuck is that? That's a dog.
Sorry, dog fight.
Shut up. No, there's so many.
When dogs attack.
So, yeah.
Imagine if Brett gets mauled on air.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
Oh, shit.
He's like, damn. All right, so. What was this? Oh, there he's back. So I would say, like, they're an example of that sort of idea where they're continuing to do the same sort of games over and over and over again with very little advancement. And obviously the fans of Nintendo are very fine with that, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what it is. But, no, people do call them out. But I do notice that the industry, I'm talking about, you know, gaming journalists specifically,
They
give them a pass, boy.
They get the pass 90% of the time. Yeah.
You know, you saw with Breath of the Wild, a huge fucking pass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't need to go over my problems with Nintendo. The games are kiddie games. The hardware is always fucking disappointing. For me, I can't fathom why anyone would want to buy a Switch when the Steam Deck, which is a way superior console, exists. But, you know, what do you need this underpowered piece of crap when you have
the Steam Deck doesn't have all the things that you, that a Nintendo person is looking for.
But that's what I'm saying. They're more of a different ilk. That's what I'm saying.
They're more attached.
It's a toy. It's a toy. It's a
toy. Yeah.
It's more attached to the
titles.
You
guys give it a fair shake.
I mean.
Like, say what you will about Nintendo, and a lot of their policies suck, but the thing about their games is that they are genuinely fun. And even the point I want to make is that they're genuinely fun in an era where, like, not every game is fun. We live in a lot of games where, like, or an era where, like, a lot of things are RPG or story-based, where it's a good experience. And, like, Last of Us is a good example. It's a great game. It's interesting. That game, I don't think at any point in that game are you having fun. I don't think that you're having a lot of fun the way you do with a Nintendo game. And so, like, it's not so much that they like kiddie experiences or they like nostalgia. It's that not a lot of people, you know, base their games on, like, well, how much fun are you having minute to minute? And that's a design philosophy that, unfortunately, only Nintendo really kind of does these days.
Yeah, again, I get that. Again, like I said, of a different ilk, you know? But, yeah. Again, Sony and Microsoft fans can understand each other because they generally like the same things, right? Nintendo, those guys are On another level, I mean, man.
I feel even if the Steam Deck was on store shelves and it was side by side with the Nintendo Switch,
it would still sell easily.
Just from the collection of Mario price, games and stuff. Yeah, just people know it. The nostalgia, people know it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just think that it's, but again, like, but you see what having a good console also gives you too. Like, I mean, the Wii U was a confusing console, you know, and I think
the Switch does exactly what it's advertised as.
It does, you know? Yeah, exactly. You got to
give them that. Yeah.
So, let me ask, do you think the PlayStation benefits from nostalgia?
It does.
Yeah, it does.
Why do you think we get all these remasters?
Yeah.
You know? But the thing is, they're not going deep enough with their nostalgia. Like, people
been watching
Sly Cooper or something, or SOCOM. Sony ain't giving them those games, you know?
Well, they did do a sequel to Sly Cooper, and it didn't do very well.
Yeah, that's also true.
It's probably because it wasn't made by the original guys who made the Sly Cooper game, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, like, do any of the major game companies not rely fairly heavily on nostalgia? I mean,
I think they all do.
I think Nintendo is like more egregious with it, you know?
Yeah, like I think Nintendo, as the years have gone further on, they're more dependent on their legacy than the actual new titles.
Yeah,
and the fans
eat it up. Motherfuckers
at
these events.
For instance, for the current iteration of this Switch, right? What's the newest game that they have? What's the newest IP they have?
Splatoon.
Arms. Splatoon this generation, or was Splatoon from the Wii U? It's the only one right now. Like, everything else is either a sequel, a remake, or something else.
Yeah, Nintendo. Real quick, Blue says, he goes, as a parent, I love having Nintendo as I can game with my daughter, whereas with many PS games I can't. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a family console, you know.
Picture.
Yeah, exactly. So Nintendo does serve its purpose. So I'm just saying, because I'm just speaking for myself here. As a guy like me, I can't get excited about that. The tech ain't there. The games are kiddie. I don't care for that type of shit. You know,
I don't see an issue with kiddie games. Because I feel like, in general, that, you know, at least they're not the Nintendo games are not to the point where they're like, you know, this is A, this is B. Like, yeah. I don't see it like, yeah, it's that. Not like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like Sesame Street games or anything like that.
Even though there's still, like, every 15 minutes, take a break. You know, you've been playing too long. You know, I'm like, all right, bro, I'm a fucking adult. Stop with that shit.
It's too bad they don't have an age thing where you put it in there and tells you it doesn't bug you. But anyway, whatever. I feel like in general,
man, you're putting a game. Why are you playing our shit? You know. Oh man, you
Metal Gear bastard. Solid actually. Metal Gear actually does that too, though.
Yeah, it did. I remember it's like during the load scenes, it would be like, if you've been playing for an hour, take a 15-minute break. But Nintendo's like insistent with it when I'm playing like 3DS or whatever, you know. Like, you've been playing too long. Maybe you should consider a break. Fuck you. How about that?
Fuck you. Yelling at the console. Fuck you, man.
Yeah.
You don't know me.
Exactly. Yeah, like we said, they got good gameplay, but to me, I don't care. Like, you got to get more than that, you know?
I don't think it's a different ilk. I just think it's people just that are more interested in the titles than the actual graphical prowess. Yeah.
Well, as someone who suffered at the wrath of Nintendo fans, I will say they're of a different ilk, but that's a more personal thing, you know?
I think in general, a lot of people have issues with you, how blunt you are with the way you say things.
Sony fans and Xbox guys have never given me that type of shit as Nintendo guys.
Oh, well, they're giving it to you now, aren't they?
Yeah, not on this level, though. They're not trying to get me fired, you know. There's a difference. They will come at me, but they don't go after my job like these fucking Nintendo idiots, you know.
Yo, man, you're making me mad.
Yeah, fuck Nintendo. All right, moving on here. Okay, to Meke, who's been joining us in the chat tonight. Do gamers really want three consoles doing the same thing? Kind of related to what we were talking about. Isn't it better for the industry to have a variety of approaches to the way we play and what we play? Currently, we have Sony going the traditional console route, Xbox pushing more into the services space and play anywhere, and Nintendo going hybrid console slash handheld with a more family-friendly focus. Obviously, there's the PC space too, which covers the hardcore builds through to the more friendly Steam Deck. Seems healthy to me. The best part is, if you don't like one option, you have plenty of others available that might fit your gaming style. Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're trying to say, but the thing is, when this is where the trick comes in, right? Because Sony and Microsoft have such a similar approach to things. When one company does something that's really good, we got to question why isn't the other one doing it? Kind of like Game Pass and Day One games. I think it's natural for people to go, wait, why doesn't Sony do this? You know, people don't really ask that of Nintendo. Some do, but not as much because, again, Nintendo's kind of doing their own thing. But I don't disagree with you that it's good to have the consoles doing their own things, because that's the reason you buy a system, right? Because of what it provides that the others don't, you know? But obviously, exactly. The best case scenario is you get everything and you're good to go. So, yeah, I think in general it's a good thing. And like you said, if you don't like something, don't buy it, you know? I hate that phrase because everybody's don't like it, don't buy it, you know? But... Yeah, it is good to have variety, because obviously if everybody's doing the exact same thing, it'd be like, okay, why should I get this over that when there's no different, you know? So I get what you're talking about.
No, I don't have an issue with whatever was said there. Yeah.
Do gamers really want... some gamers probably do. They probably want them all doing the same
thing. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, you'll hear a lot of that where, like, hey, how come they're not doing this, or how come there's not more of this? You know, you'll hear plenty of people saying, why aren't there Nintendo games on everything else? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because they don't want... But I don't know. Go ahead.
I just want to mention that there are different types of things that these consoles should do the same, and some different things that they should do different. Sometimes features become sort of part of the zeitgeist, like multiplayer, so voice chat, things like that, where, you know, you sort of just are expected to have. You know, for example, with Sony during the PlayStation 3 days, they didn't have these features until, you know, sort of Microsoft forced them to do it.
Well, Microsoft had it out the gate. They didn't even think about it doing any of that sort of stuff. I think even adding an online to their system was a new idea to them.
Well, Microsoft?
No, not Microsoft, Sony.
Oh, well, we know that video they said that was after they did their focus groups, that their fan base did not want that. They weren't interested in that. Mm-hmm. And that became a meme for a long time. Like, before memes were big, that was a big talking point. It was like, damn, did you hear what he said? And I was like, yeah, he said it.
Yeah, but like those types of things, I feel should be sort of parodied throughout the whole industry. But as far as, you know, Nintendo having their own lane where they're a strong first party support, or Sony having their first party single player sort of games and how they do
cinematic games,
cinematic games, and Microsoft having. Well, we don't know what their identity is.
Yeah, they're still trying to struggle, because they used to have an identity, you know, the dude, bro gamer, you know, Mountain Dew, Doritos dudes. But
they're trying to move away from that.
They're trying to move away from that. You know, right.
Because that's considered toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, go ahead.
So they're, you know, they're trying to find an identity. So whatever that is, they'll have that, and they have Game Pass. So like those types of things that distinguishes them is pretty good. But there are things like, for example, Nintendo not having voice chat day one, or them not having the technology to showcase their first party games. Like, I'm pretty sure Breath of the Wild would have been like an even a more better experience if it looked not even surpassed or not even on par, but, you know, just below sort of the graphical standards of the generation that came out with.
Yeah,
it would have been a lot better.
Carlos, and tying it back to the first question, right? Remember, you and I, we played that game right after Horizon Zero Dawn. That was fucking rough, man. You know, mm-hmm. you go from one of the best looking games of that time to this muddy fucking. Ugh, you know, it's like what are we doing here? You know.
Yep. So I, you know, there are things that I do expect companies to have that other companies have, but doesn't mean that they don't have their own sazon.
You know,
there is a balance.
You know, we're over here using sazon. These motherfuckers over here using salt and pepper. You know, and butter.
Oh, I'd be using nothing sometimes.
This kid is crazy. Bliss goes, I'm glad graphics don't put me off that much. I'm glad because I need my shit to look good. I'm sorry. My shit needs to look good, you know? And it's a shame because Breath of the Wild would look so fucking gorgeous on a real fucking console, you know? Like, it would look so good. It would look so good. But
I mean, they did the mods.
Well, then again, there are ways to get it in a real system, if you know what I'm saying. But we're not talking about that, right, Adam?
I mean, but the thing is, it's like it's not even like the graphics that we're talking. We're just talking about the fidelity of that game and how it actually runs. I feel like
you have Bayonetta 3. That game would be so and 2. Bayonetta 2 and 3 so fucking dope. They're relegated to the shitty fucking system. You know that could barely play them. It's sad, man. Anyway, let's move on. Another question from Mr. Dumeki. If Jim Ryan was a more likable chap, just like say Uncle Phil, would some of his decisions be more palatable to gamers? I know. The likely quick answer from the crew will be probably no, he just needs to go, but I'll ask anyway. No, I think if he presented these exact same things in a better way, and if he was an actual likable person, it would be easier to swallow. Absolutely, you know? We talked about this before with Xbox One, you know, the way they presented these things was the problem because we literally got all that shit they told us eventually. Right? It was just presented in a better way. So, yes, if Jim Ryan was a more likable person, he probably could get you to go, yeah, I'm fine with $70 games. You know what I'm saying? For sure. But the problem is Jim Ryan, he's just an unlikable person. Jim Ryan is the stereotype of the cold businessman. You know, like with Phil Spencer, you could imagine hanging out with this dude, having a beer, right? Jim Ryan, you could just tell he's just a stodgy business dude who's just thinking about numbers. He's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about the bottom line. But the problem is, and it's going to sound funny that there's a problem. The problem is Jim Ryan, at least as far as the shareholders are concerned and, you know, Sony's concerned, he's doing a good job because PlayStation 5's selling. The games are selling. You know, but he is just a bad front-facing person for that company. You know,
the one thing about this is that I feel like what he is doing hasn't really fully come to fruition. That I think the game, the at least the five is still running off of the good, you know, the off of the height of the
four. Oh, PlayStation absolutely. 4. Yeah.
I feel like
is a PlayStation 4 if you think about it.
I feel like a lot of, like, in other words, this, you know, you remember how we were saying that Microsoft hasn't found their found their voice yet?
Yeah.
I feel like Sony's voice has changed and they're sort of trying to find a new voice that doesn't seem right. In other words, it still has that wave. It's still riding that wave from the previous generation. Well, as we're slowly going down the sea level, what is that next wave going to be, if there is one? Because I'm seeing a very sort of similar sort of situation from PlayStation 2 to 3. You know, when they hit that 3, they're high on their horse. They thought they were the best. They're like, yeah, you got to pay more money for this shit. And they shot straight to the bottom. So once the love story of all of this is all over and done with, and we actually have to live with the person that we're married to now, what is that going to be like?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they're definitely playing on thin ice with the way they keep pushing things, with raising the price and other markets instead of this market, and just some of the services that they're offering, but they're not putting too much effort into these services, so there's really not that much interest. But I'm like, who gives a shit? They're gonna pay for it anyway.
Yeah, so, that's what it is. Yeah, we are far from the days when we had guys like, you know, Andrew House and Sean Layden and Gio Corsi. You know, these are affable men. You know, it's like you want to hang out with these dudes. So as a matter of fact, Gio Corsi, he was always hanging out with fans, you know? But, you know, we're not, that's not the Sony we have right now, the PlayStation we have.
I remember, I think it was Nate Diaz. It was a UFC fighter, and they talked to him, and I was like, oh, what keeps you motivated? Like, I mean, you are on the top. But I think it was Nate. It was one of them anyway. He won a title, and he kept defending it. And I'm like, what keeps you going? And he says, I'm always hungry. I'm always acting as if I can lose it at any moment, and which I can. All they can go away. So I just got to stay hungry. And I think that's the problem. You, when you get to the top and you're there for so long, you're no longer hungry. It's sort of also with music bands, right? First yeah. album, bangers most of the time. And then the second, third, they're bragging about all the shit they have and singing about pointless shit. And I'm like, what happened? You're not as hungry anymore. Now you're just going to produce whatever. You're like, yeah, fuck it. I already got the following. But you forget, you can lose it as fast as you get it.
Yeah.
So.
It's crazy. All right, man. Moving on here. Kishak in the house, right? Do you consider nostalgia a blight on overall gaming and media, and in general the biggest weakness of the human race? I don't know about that, but yeah,
yeah. If that was the case, we can't follow history then.
Well, it's unfortunate.
Let's stick with games at least for this question, you know.
It definitely stifles creativity. You know what I mean? Because it's the surefire hit. If it was popular before, it will be popular again. And I feel like it stifles new things. It stifles the essentially advancement. If we're just continuing to make the same things over again but slightly different, what's the point? We just sit around playing the same old games and watching the same old movies. And we're seeing a lot of that right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, obviously, nostalgia thing, but I think what's going on with media is it's the safe bet, you know?
It is the safe bet, especially with so much money going into it. You're not gonna bet on something you never heard of. You're gonna bet on something that was already established. Hey, Spider-Man was a successful comic. Let's make it into a cartoon and a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make remakes.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm with you on this one. It does stifle creativity for sure, you know? Because
and then it becomes to the point that's like, you know, like if we, again, we're just making the same things over and over again. Like, I, to be honest, like, it sucks that the guys who left, who did Dead Space are essentially fell off. But look at what that Protocol game looks like. That looks damn good. Yeah. I mean, granted, it has that Dead Space feel to it, but it's still a new title.
Yeah, it's a new title that's playing it semi-safe because
it's playing like it. It's obviously playing on nostalgia, but at least it's trying to be something new while still sort of giving that little bit of reminder. I'm okay with that. I just feel like we need to start moving around and start shaking things up and getting some new things out there, actual new things, and not just sequels, you know, or remakes.
All right, next question. Assyrian Air Force, who's also been joining us in the chat tonight. Shout out to all you guys, man, as always.
Yo.
This was, okay. If Microsoft had acquired both Activision and Bethesda prior to this generation, would Sony have invested so much to make PS5, or would the company have made a hybrid console like the Switch? That is mega fucking speculative right there, dude. Yeah. So we don't know about all that. That's super ultra speculative, you know? If anybody wants to answer, sure, but I'm like, that's too speculative for me, you know?
They would make a handheld console, a hybrid console like Nintendo?
Yeah, would they have done that if Microsoft had purchased Activision before the generation happened? That's his question.
How does that even equate? No,
I don't know.
Doesn't even equate to. I'm sorry, but that doesn't even match up, because
yeah, if you could explain that, you're in the chat. If you could explain that to us a little bit better,
yeah, that doesn't even make sense to how they correlate together. Because the only reason why Nintendo made a hybrid console is because their handheld industry was doing so fucking well.
Yeah,
that's why they did that.
It was doing bad,
and their console industry wasn't doing bad. So essentially what they did was they made a halfway point console handheld. So let's say, if for the sake of conversation, the PlayStation Vita was doing pretty good, and then the heavy duty consoles weren't doing so good. I think that would be the space where they would say, okay, let's make that sort of hybrid console.
Yeah.
I don't think
if the acquisition would have happened beforehand, Sony would be like, okay, we got to secure some fucking deals. I don't think exactly. I don't think it would change their hardware status. It would just change their partnerships. You know, like okay, doing now behind the scenes. Let's be real. You know,
which they are. So it seems like what they're.
They bought Bungie, so okay. So it would be the same type of deal. You know, they would be like, okay, let's secure some more of these exclusives or whatever. But I don't think they would change their stance. You know,
I don't think so. No, I don't think it would. I don't think it would affect their hardware. I think it would just, it would be more, getting things on their console that people really want to play, and I think that would have been the thing.
Good stuff. All right. Oh, by the way, I'm doing something new tonight with the show, which I think I'll keep doing forward. Basically, if you ask us extra questions, I'll just pick the best two in my opinion, and we do those. And if there's time, we answer some extras, and we do have a little bit of time, so let's answer some of the extras. I'll pick one from Villa Kyle. There's a lot of talk, kind of related to the last question. There's a lot of talk about what content parity means with the Activision Microsoft deal and Call of Duty. The limiting factor is the platform's performance abilities. Is there a future where Microsoft bolsters its games through cloud computing and therefore releases a better performing version of Call of Duty on their platform, provided you switch the feature on? We hear a lot about their plans for cloud integration and gaming, but have seen very little in the way of standard application. Yeah, they've been talking about this forever. Remember when they said fucking Crackdown 3?
Yeah. You know,
it was supposed to be, they didn't do that. So he's basically saying, if another speculative question, I guess, if they actually decide to use cloud computing to make the games run better, could we see a future where Call of Duty will use this on Xbox as opposed to PlayStation?
I guess it's possible because they have the back-end infrastructure, that Azure. That's what they've been trying to do. It works great for applications and other business enterprise software, but it's harder to get games, and especially multiple ones, running at the same time. It's just so graphically intense. That was the issue with Crackdown. They were trying to get it where, oh, yeah, it's triple environment. Buildings are crumble around you. It sounds amazing. And then when they put it into effect, like, this isn't going to work on a bigger scale. We can't pull this off. So who knows? And until we start getting closer and we're seeing that more and more right now, we see artifacts. We see different things, like certain maps are loaded on the back end and running in the cloud to try to make things run a little better, but not a full game. I just can't see it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on here to another one. Another one from Tubek. I definitely want to get into this one because I've kind of been saying this for years. But he provided examples. He goes, here's a spicy one. Is Microsoft or Xbox to blame for the current state of gaming fandom? Not all fanboyism, just the more toxic side. And here's some examples. They are largely responsible for introducing console gamers to online gaming and the shit show that is open chat. They introduce achievements and the competitive nature it brings, like show me your gamer score to see if you're a true gamer. They are known to have stoked the fanboy fires during the 360 days to try to put the boot into PS3 while they had the lead, touting console sales while they were in front so that every NPD became a battlefront between the idiots, I mean fans. Those are just a few examples that I can think of. I'm not saying Sony is squeaky clean, but I think Xbox has a lot to answer for. They joined the console race to stop Sony from taking over the living room in the first place. Also, I'd like to note, this is just a bit of fun discussion, and I'll be dropping familiar ones for other platforms. I've been saying this for years. I actually, not wholly, but I do think Xbox is responsible for breeding that bro gamer toxic shit, you know, because it was the first one that really, obviously Dreamcast had online as well, but we're talking about what really popularized it was Xbox, right? So, and then, you know, the whole bro gamer thing, Xbox, even the console had that feel of it, you know, Aaron Greenberg over there always talking shit, and like you said, you know, the console sales and all that. So yeah, I do think it came from that. I've been saying this on this podcast for many years, you know.
But see what it brought into the living room. It was the chat. That was always there on PC, but it brought it into the living room. If Sony was the first to have online play with the headset and the chat and stuff, it would have just materialized there. The voices. It's like what we see right now with Twitter. With Twitter and all this stuff. People are like, how come these people coming out of the woodworks? What woodworks? This is where people are. This is it. They just have a voice now. Before, you had to know somebody who is a nut and find them. Oh, that's a crazy dude down the block. Now he has a fucking channel on YouTube. Now you can see it and hear it. And so that's all it is. It put the mic in front of these people. And so I don't really understand, like, the achievements. I remember when they first talked about it, that was something more of linked with the King of Kong, with that whole thing where people are like, oh, wow, leaderboards, high scores. How, where can I track that? Where can I do it? I want something like that. And I was like, well, how about we give the players their own leaderboard and high score, something that they can track and it's linked to them, like their own profile. And that's the story behind achievements. So that is something the fans wanted, people, gamers in general, instead of having to say, oh, go to this website to go see my game score leaderboards, see where I stand in that game. Just look me up on my service. There you go. My whole history is there.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I don't think that's that bad. But I do think, yeah, the online thing, that definitely is what sparked that. And Xbox gamers in general, even some now, are like, you know, I'm the hardcore. I'm the real fucking gamer. I play better games than you. You know, shit like that. So it definitely had its start that. But you're right, Adam. And whoever would have popularized online first, they would have been responsible.
It's because it's just turning on the mic. Yeah. It's just turning on the mic. And it's like, all right, who's going to talk first? And what did people do? People are going to bitch. They're going to attack. They want to show off. They're going to, you know, do the machismo thing. It wasn't just that. I'm surprised everyone keeps calling me with the bro. That, for me, what the way I saw Xbox from the early days wasn't so much of the shooters as the bro game. It's the fact that it had its own sport games. Xbox had all their own sports series. They had their own baseball, the football. They were doing their own thing. And a game day series, that was awesome. And so when I heard about all the bro game, I was like, yeah, because we have, you know, Xbox has its own sports series as opposed to relying on EA to do everything. And then it was like all shooters, but then shooters were on everything. And then, of course, eventually the shooters left, at least when it comes to the exclusivity deals. And then everybody was like, oh, well, PlayStation, that's it. But no one was calling that the bro gamer system. I was like, well, it's pretty much where you predominantly people go to play Call of Duty now. So isn't it?
Yeah. But Xbox, but again, that's the other one.
Why you keep defending Dutch?
Yeah, I'm not defending it. You're right.
Where did Call of Duty really get its big like blow up? It was on Xbox, you know. All right. Good question. There, I see another one. What's up? What's up,
Tony? So yeah, I think all these consoles are not, obviously they're not the sole propagators of these types of stereotypes and traits for the toxic traits for gamers, but they obviously don't help. None of them do.
You get people online and they're anonymous, you already know what's about to go down, you know. But yeah, Xbox is definitely, I blame them for that shit 100%.
I mean, Call of Duty still has a Dorito and Mountain Dew tie-ins. They still do it. That's just been their thing.
Yeah, the whole thing with Xbox is, you know, that culture kind of existed in the PC world and the IRC chats and all that. But you know, brought it to the living room with a whole bunch of people, a lot of different types of people that, you know, back in the day, PC gamers, even though they don't talk as much shit as the Xbox gamers did. You know, because, you know, PC gaming back then was more of a nerdy hobby than a mainstream.
And it wasn't in, and the chat feature wasn't integrated. You had to have a separate app. I remember there was a few that I had where I had to have a separate app to run alongside my PC games.
Because TeamSpeak or...
Yeah, TeamSpeak.
Remember TeamSpeak, mm-hmm. Man, back in the Warzone days? You know,
You had to have a separate one.
Yeah, so, you know, when Xbox did the Xbox Live thing... a whole bunch of people, and the barrier of entry to voice chat to play video games with other people that they don't know just became way lower, and it spurred a whole generation of shit talkers and stuff. So
yeah, you know. But Blitz wants us to talk about the other things because he thinks they're more important, specifically Xbox touting the numbers that sold versus PlayStation and shit like that. Yeah, that obviously also, you know, fuel that tribalism, you know?
Shit, but that happened with Sega. Remember what Sega has with Sony, with Nintendo, you know? I mean, this has always been the thing. It's competition.
Yeah, but I see where he's coming from, you know? Aaron Greenberg, man, I'm just saying, he has a lot to answer for.
On to it.
Aaron Greenberg's died it down a lot since back in
the day. Remember the way he used to be, you know?
Oh yeah. So that was a different time, different culture back in those Xbox days.
It really was, man.
But, I think that the thing about it is that a lot of it, I think a lot of the sort of tribalism is jumps off of that sort of sports winning team sort of deal, you know, and that a lot of that comes from general audiences, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the winner. Yeah, I did it. Like, you know, I think that's what it was. I think a lot of it is because we get a lot of general audience sort of interest. You get a lot of, again, that sort of sports mentality that this is the winning team. And obviously, I think also the same thing happened. You know, the marketing also sort of fed off of that. Yeah, we're the winning team. You're part of that. You know, like that sort of deal to sort of try to bolster their advertising, you know, one of these companies.
Well, and their shareholders.
As Adam said, that you know the a lot of companies do this. Yeah, Nintendo, and you know, very much so. The Sega Genesis was being like the bro sort of console.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. They were the aggressive ones. They were the ones taking direct shots at Nintendo. You know, and I would also say, like, you know, the early days of Sony was very similar to that. Mm-hmm. Was very sort of like, are you a gamer? You gotta beat this score. Can you get past this level? You know, it's that sort of, again, trying to get that competition mentality sort of going.
Yeah, I mean, in general, gaming started with that, obviously, you know, in the arcades and all that, very competitive.
Oh yeah, it should now. They even more. Look, we got esports. The whole point of esports, then, it's because it's competitive. They want that, and fans want it, or else they wouldn't give a shit. They actually go to it. They want the competition. They want the sport aspect. Even though a lot of them would say they're not sport gamers, well, this is a sport.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you're in an arena watching a shit, that's a sport. You know, it's the same thing.
If they literally made an arena just so that you can watch video games, it's a sport.
It's a sport.
But it says esports are full of assholes.
That's the complaint that I have about a lot.
That's what you get, man. When you get a bunch of competitive people, they're going to be fucking assholes, you know.
To be honest, like that's the whole reason why I don't care for the fighting game community, because they're a bunch of dickheads.
Yeah.
And they're literally pushing those games toward that direction, which I don't care for.
Yeah, that fighting games to me have been ruined because of that community, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the thing that makes the money, and it literally advertises itself. Especially you see Daigo and all those guys doing all kinds of crazy shit. You know, hey, maybe I could do that. You know, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't care what the fuck those guys are doing. I just want to play my game, and I don't want to fucking get wailed on by some dickhead online. That's why I don't play online.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I still remember, because back in the day, we used to play a bunch of fighting games. Were like our favorite genre, me and Manny and our friends.
Yeah.
We would play them all the time. And I'm not trying to like brag, but I'm trying to get to a point here, right? I was pretty fucking good, you know? Like, I could beat a lot of guys. Like, I was basically like Muhammad Ali, right? Then I go online, I'm fighting Godzilla. Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be, you know, it's like, it's those guys are on a whole other level.
Well, I mean, to be honest,
they fucking cheat. That's why, you know. And I know, there's a specific Twitter website. It's like Stuff Losers Say or something. They quoted me because I said that, but it's true. Because when we fought, we had certain rules. We would have some kind of honor in place. You know, these guys are like, they would just do the same fucking thing over and over and over and over again.
You wouldn't corner somebody. You pull back. You do all kinds of stuff that, you know, essentially try to give the other person a fair chance.
Yeah.
But no, these guys literally just, they learned the combo online from one of those guys, and they're just constantly using it on everything. I get it. There's, you know, to be honest, this situation reminds me of our PlayStations with the evil Chris. He is one of those guys that was very technical, and he analyzed and played those games for hours and figured out, you know, we didn't call them like hitboxes back then, you know, but he figured out how all these things work. And he could wail on you, and you just couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, that shit wasn't fun, you know?
No.
So yeah,
who wants the whole idea of fighting is just like the chance that you can both pull something off. Right, you can like, oh,
unless it's a real fight, then you want to make sure he.
Well, no, I mean, you know,
but yeah, no, I get it. In the game.
Yeah, no, you just like cheat your ass off. Sure, it's like that's why people fucking hated Hoist Gracie.
Why is he grabbing him and shit, that's
everybody wants to see a knockdown brawl, right? And this motherfucker's like grabbing everybody.
Yeah, I think that's why they
come on.
Yeah, it's like no loose clothing now, because Hoist Gracie was always grabbing their gi and shit.
Hoist Gracie was always grabbing their gi. He's literally getting
those early days, they didn't even, the ref didn't even know to what a tap was. Like, people were tapping and they didn't know, do we stop the fight? Is he giving up? Like, what? They were expecting constant knockouts in the early days. And they're like, no, I guess it's over until the guy stopped moving.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to devolve the show into something else, but I love the early UFC because it was like actual Street Fighter. You know, you'd have like a boxer and punching a fucking ninja. It was great. Oh, man. The Tank Abbott Oh my god. Steve Severn, remember that big motherfucker?
Dan Severn.
Oh my god. Yo, those were good days, man.
Which is funny is that he won all these tough man competitions, all this stuff, no injuries. He joins the WWE, he breaks his neck.
Shit.
It's like horrible. It's like, yeah, lead him to that to get hurt.
Ken Shamrock, man. You know? Yeah.
He's still bare knuckle fighting. Yeah. I saw him
still bare knuckle fighting, and he's still wrestling.
See? Right. Oh yeah, that's right. He did some TNA Impact. He did some Impact stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Yeah, that's gonna do it for us, man. Good show. Lively show tonight, boy. Adam, you must be yelling earlier on, man.
Oh man, you were yelling.
We're going down.
I was mad about the $70 games, man. Some bullshit.
Oh, for that shit. If you don't do it, and you know what? This is the thing. Unless it's Nintendo, at least on the other end, they always drop in price. We see sales all the time. It's within like 2 months, they already drop almost like 20-30%, depending on the title, sometimes even more. We saw it with Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. Remember that? It was like a month out. Yeah, and then it was 30
real quick. Hold on, real quick. I actually want to toss in one question before we wrap up. This is a good one, kind of related to the fanboy stuff. There's another one to make it. Does anyone know if gaming fanboyism is a big thing in places like Asia, or is it a more Western thing? I never looked into it, but I'm interested.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a
great fucking question. I don't know. I cannot answer this. I have no idea, but I'm going to look into this. I'm very interested. Japan, what's up?
Yeah, what's the word?
I was gonna say, let's ask our Asian correspondent Riku.
Or we can ask our good buddy, Mr. Gator.
Yeah.
Mr. Gator, definitely.
He is very familiar with Japanese culture and stuff like that. So
you know what I'll do? I'm gonna put this question back into the leftovers, because I want to ask it again when we get Mr. Sub Gator to answer, because I'm curious, like. Because they have the same things as we do online, Twitter, all this shit, you know?
Yeah.
I'm curious. I'm very curious.
Fanboys.
Yeah, fanboys. You know. All right, man. So we're done, man. Another good show. Do we have anything to plug around?
No. But I would expect their angry fanboys to sound like this. Rah! Rah!
They sound like fucking your person. Shit. Oh, man. You know? we have a kind of announcement to make. So Manny and I may be in the same space together doing Throwdown on Thursday, you know?
Thursday and probably Sunday.
Probably Sunday, we'll see. Yeah. My space, you know?
Manny's space.
Yeah, Manny's going to Comic-Con, and so am I, actually. So it won't affect the show, but, you know, it'll be fun. You know, having you here, we've done that before during Comic Cons. We're always like in the same spot, you know.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be out there doing Selma wares, getting things together. It's gonna be an interesting week. So hope to see you there if you're in the New York area.
Yeah, it'll be good stuff. Yeah, come through, man. All right, Adam, what's going on with The Walking Dead? I am Negan.
Hill, Walking Dead is back, Mothership is back. We, myself, Billy Jr., and Carlos, we just posted the latest episode of I Am Me, and it's on iTunes, Spotify, of course, the Coalition, and YouTube. And this is for episode 17, Lockdown. This is it. Mothership's back. This is the last 8 episodes, and then that's it. It's a wrap. So if you haven't watched it or you did watch it, want to hear our thoughts, check us out over on iTunes and Spotify and YouTube. I Am Negan.
Yep. Logic with he does it in Adam accent. The Mothership.
It's the Mothership. It's true, man. This is it. And then after that, we got all little side ships, and some of them suck ass. So.
Oh shit! Yo, Barry Burton, you're gonna be at Comic Con, man.
Oh, let's fucking go. He's like, I tried to get out, but they keep on.
You know, he was probably not gonna go this year. Now he knows we're going. He's like, fuck. Gonna go now, you know.
Gonna have a bad. People are gonna. Folks are gonna be asking him for shit. We know the deal, Barry.
We already know, man. You already know. All right, man. We're done here. Thank you for joining us as always. Make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors, specifically given to us by Mob Hits, are always flowing. You can find us on any podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show towards Throwdown Show. You could also go to throwdownshow.com to listen to previous episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight is joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, people.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Majoma.
Man, that first episode of Edgerunners, man, gets you in the heart.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to make a comment about Kang, but I guess you didn't see that footage.
I'm not on Twitter, so I have no idea. Okay, good. Life's good.
Yeah, there you go. All right, people, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.